Good morning.
You're just in time.
Welcome to the St. Gabriel Cafe, your sacred space to sip on today's local blend of faithful encouragement.
Let's start our day together.
Good morning, friends. Come on in, pull up a chair. I'm Dave Orsborn.
And I'm Amanda Miller, and we welcome you into the St. Gabriel Cafe, our live and local morning show.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning, Cam.
Good morning.
How are you guys doing this morning?
Oh, so good.
Oh, so good.
I had a donut this morning.
And coffee.
And I'm about to have a lavender tea latte, so.
It's Easter.
It's Easter. I'm going to celebrate.
Had a Chick-fil-A milkshake last night.
Oh. Ooh.
That was my Easter celebration.
We'll come back to the lavender thing after we pray.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we praise you and we thank you for this glorious day, that even though it may be gloomy outside, in our hearts we rejoice with joy at your resurrection. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for all that you are doing and accomplishing, how you have crushed the enemy, death, and sin, and call us to new life. And Lord, we ask and we beg to live in that. Come and conquer all those little battles in each and every one of our lives, that we would turn to you for help and for guidance and blessings and graces, to just keep our eyes on you and our hearts full of love with you. Thank you, Lord. We offer all those who have asked for our prayers, all of their intentions. We ask that you, in particular, bless our families, all of our needs, spiritual and material. We offer all this through Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Amanda. This morning, we're going to be talking about inspiring and encouraging lives of service, especially in our younger brothers and sisters. Joining us for the conversation are Joe Patrick, president of Cristo Rey High School, and Kelly Henderson, the president of Catholic Social Services of Columbus. They'll be with us here in just a few minutes. Okay, lavender. it's a fragrance, not a flavor.
Well, no, you can also
discuss.
Yeah, you can also bake with it. There's like baking lavender, and they make a syrup out of it. You know, just like you can go to a coffee shop and get a vanilla latte. You can get a lavender one. It's quite good. You don't seem convinced.
Yeah, okay, so then you cold foam?
No. Anytime I have foam, you think it's cold foam.
I learned cold foam is a thing, so.
It's just I steeped some tea. I added some lavender, and then I heated up some milk and frothed it. And
what's sitting on top?
That's the froth.
What's the brown stuff?
Oh, probably just tea residual.
Okay.
Yeah. It's quite good, okay?
Is the tea itself lavender, or do you like pump some lavender into
know.
It?
I just use Irish breakfast or English breakfast, black tea.
Okay.
Yeah, and then use a lavender syrup. Mm-hmm. Cam, have you ever
I hope
lavender?
That was at all interesting to other people, but I'm intrigued. Cam?
I don't know that I've ever ingested lavender.
Okay, I'm going to make some for everyone, and you just watch, okay?
I'm not naysaying it. I think it could work. I just don't know what that would taste like. I know what it smells like. There's this great company. I am not sponsored by this company at all, but I think I'm their biggest marketing salesman. It's called Warmies. And it's stuffed animal microwave heating packed.
Yes.
They're
phenomenal. It's literally like a heating pack you put in the microwave, right? You heat it up when your back is sore or something like that. But it's a stuffed animal too.
Oh.
And they're all scented like lavender.
Yeah, we have
and
an
so
otter.
That's what I think of.
Okay. So I don't know. I heard stuffed animal and I was like, wait, what? Like taxidermy something. Okay,
oh, no,
much
not
better.
That.
Okay, good. I don't know why my mind went there.
Anyways, they're all scented like lavender, so I'm trying to, that's where I think of lavender the most, is that smell. But I'm not sure how that would taste, so anyways.
Like lavender lemon scones. Doesn't that sound great? No, not convinced.
I don't know if I've ever tasted it.
Okay.
I've smelled lavender.
New plan. Got it.
I'm a fan. I'm a fan of the odor. But yeah, I can't. I don't know. Maybe I have. Maybe it got slipped into something I eat.
New cafe plan.
Nice. Yeah, we need to shake up our beverages a little. I'm just drinking straight up black coffee. Mm. So
it's a good one.
I'm just worried now that somebody will slip something into it. Let's go to today's gospel, yes, shall please. We? So today, Thursday, April 4th, the octave of Easter, our gospel passage is Luke chapter 24, verses 35 to 48.
The disciples of Jesus recounted what had taken place along the way, and how they had come to recognize him in the breaking of the bread. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do you questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things."
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Cam, you want me to go first? Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures.
I have a holy jealousy. Please continue, Dave.
Well,
I can't contain myself there.
No, when I opened up this passage this morning at home before I came in, it was just a reminder to myself to, when I pray with scripture, to still myself and to recognize that Jesus is there with me.
Mm-hmm.
And even where, you know, Jesus is sitting across from me or next to me and we both have our Bibles open.
Mm.
Now Jesus doesn't need to have his Bible open, but he's doing it for my sake.
Right.
And we just open it together and have that, that time, that relationship together.
Mm.
And that's what's really coming out to me in this passage where Jesus comes to them and becomes a part of what's happening right then in their lives. You know, why are you troubled?
Mm.
And to have that supernatural understanding of when we pray and we sit down with the scripture that Jesus is there,
mm-hmm.
and we can bring our emotions to him. You know, Lord, you know, I'm troubled this morning.
Right.
You know, Dave, why are you troubled?
Mm-hmm.
And just to have that conversation, then to break open the scripture. There's a prayer of Saint Francis where he would cry out, "God, who are you and who am I?"
Mm.
And I love that approach to doing Lexio or praying with scripture to, you know, Lord, what do you want to reveal to me about yourself
mm-hmm.
in this passage? And then what's on your heart, Lord, for me in this passage. Mm. And just to spend that time. Mm-hmm. You know, nothing, there's nothing profound about that. It's just having that, that truth, that belief that Jesus is present mm-hmm. when we pray. And especially breaking open the word.
Yeah. Amen to that. I think in my own reflection this morning, I was struck by that first part that they recognized him in the breaking of the bread. And kind of going off of, you know, the passage that we read the other day from the Road to Emmaus, I heard a reflection on this, actually. And we always kind of wonder, at least I always wonder, why is it that Jesus was unrecognizable to them? And, you know, there's things like, oh, because he was in his glorified body or because he veiled their eyes. But this reflection said partly maybe why he veiled their eyes was because he wanted to give precedence to the way that he was going to be present with them until the end of time.
Mm.
That he wanted to veil the way that maybe he physically looks, the way that they remember him being physically with him, so that now their recognition must turn to him being present in the breaking of the bread. And I was so struck by that, especially in light of this Eucharistic revival that we're having, especially in light of Easter and just in light of our faith, that we really do need to be renewed in seeing Christ in the Eucharist, to recognize him in the breaking of the bread with our whole heart, with our whole mind, that is truly him, and he is truly present with us, body, blood, soul, and divinity, and he wants to recognize us as such. And then the passage ends with, you are witnesses of these things, and how much so we should live our life as witnesses of Christ coming for us, dying for us, and rising for us, and being present with us in the Eucharist. Like, our whole life should be a witness of that. So, yeah, such a good passage this morning.
I love it.
Similarly for me, Amanda, that last line that you are witnesses of these things. And I asked myself as I was praying with this, what are these things, Lord? Mm. You know, and really just like reflecting on that, you know, paragraph prior to that one line is Jesus is essentially preaching the kerygma in its fullness for the first time, you know, that it has all, like, almost in like a past tense, in the sense of like the kerygma is the story of how, you know, we were created and fell in our sin. And then Jesus comes to redeem us and he dies and resurrects and opens the gates of heaven that we might have eternal life with him. We get to partake in that now. This is the first time that like is getting preached to the apostles in its fullness. Like, he's like, I did resurrect. Mm-hmm. It has been done and gets to be more done in us. And that's the being the witnesses of it too. And really stands out to me that like, in this Easter season, I hope that it's not, I've been kind of chewing on this all week because we've had some conversations about, you know, Lent being over, Easter starting. I've just really been hoping that it's not in Easter season that is just a celebration that Lent is over for me.
Mm-hmm.
Just a celebration that, you know, the death part of it's done. That's not what we're celebrating. We're celebrating that the rising has come, that we have risen from the grave. And I'm really trying to, like, you know, that's what I want to be the living witness of. I don't want to be a witness of Jesus died. I want to be a witness of Jesus resurrected. So that's what I'm taking away from it too, is that charismatic reality of the resurrection is something I get to be a witness of today, 2,000 years later.
Yes. We are an Easter people.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Very good, guys. Thank you. Thank you very much. Coming up in just a couple minutes, we're going to have Joe Patrick and Kelly Henderson here in the cafe for a great conversation on service, living the gospel, and bringing it to others. Stay with us. You're listening to the St. Gabriel Cafe.
O good Jesus, you are the Most High God, everlasting and always living. You have shown us the way to the Father and sent the Holy Spirit to guide us. We implore thy most sacred heart to have mercy on us in this time of need. Bless and protect the vulnerable. Give hope to all and fill our hearts with confidence in your divine mercy. Be our joy in the midst of suffering and our stability in the midst of uncertainty. Your forgiveness we seek, your love we need, your protection we implore. Forgive our sins and heal our wounds. Strengthen any weakness of faith and make us strong so as to give witness to your glory. Keep far from us any illness, pestilence, or harm. You are our refuge. You are our comfort. You are our hope. Through the intercession of Our Lady, health of the sick, we come to your most sacred heart and beseech your protection and blessing. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Amen.
Do you have a minute for lasting happiness? Living virtuously is the way to freedom, happiness, and holiness. To grow in virtue, we must learn about it, practice it, and persevere in it. This is what the saints have achieved with excellence. An excellent example of the virtue of industriousness is seen in Saints Cyril and Methodius. They lived industriousness heroically by working diligently to bring the Catholic faith to the Slavonic people. Having grown up together in Greece, the brothers were sent to Russia as missionaries. They created the first written alphabet from the Slavonic languages in order to teach the faith. Their industriousness allowed the sacraments to be offered in a language the people could understand. Let us ask Saints Cyril and Methodius to pray for us, that we may grow in industriousness. Educate yourself in virtue. Learn more at educationinvirtue.com.
I'm Lori Kroc, and this is a Holy and Healthy Minute. People often join a gym to be part of a community. They depend on the coach and their peers to help guide, challenge, and support them on their health and wellness journey. It's the same with our spiritual lives. Our brothers and sisters in Christ help guide, challenge, and support us as we seek to grow in our faith. God often speaks to us about the direction of our lives through the various communities we are part of. St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta knew the need for community. She said, "The most terrible poverty is loneliness and the feeling of being unloved." She enjoyed the company of her sisters and she gave her life to serve in public ministry. She reminds us that we're all called to care for one another, and it can be as simple as offering a smile and kind words to others. Let us give thanks for the communities we are part of and how they guide, challenge, and support us on our faith journey. Amen.
Welcome back, friends, to the St. Gabriel Cafe. I'm Amanda Miller.
I'm Dave Orsborne. We're going to continue our conversation on lavender with our friends Joe Patrick, Kelly Henderson. Thanks, guys.
Good morning.
Where do you weigh in on
just
this
kidding.
Debate?
Just
I feel
kidding.
Calm already.
Kelly Henderson, the president of Catholic Social Services of Columbus, and Joe Patrick, the president of the fine Cristo Rey High School. Welcome, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Morning.
Welcome back.
Glad to be here.
Welcome back to Kelly. First time, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, Kelly, remind us of who you are.
Well, I am the president of Catholic Social Services. We are the Catholic Charities affiliate that serves the Diocese of Columbus. So 23 counties here in beautiful central and southern Ohio. We work with older adults aging in place, working families, new families, and kids just trying to navigate a path forward from school into the workforce.
Outstanding.
Thank you. It's a blessing.
We're so
be
glad
a part
to
of this
have
ministry.
You here in Columbus. We're having a good time, aren't we?
We are. This is, yeah. You know, I feel like this is kind of becoming a regular thing to be here, and I'm really honored. This is a wonderful group to be a part of, and thank you to all your listeners for putting up for this new guy with a southern accent.
And Joe, originally from Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. but been here in Columbus for some years.
Yep, moved here in 1999.
Mm-hmm. And you are the president of Cristo Rey High School. So tell us about Cristo Rey.
Cristo Rey Columbus High School. I don't have an elevator speech because there's too much to tell. but I will say this. Cristo Rey is a Catholic mission that started in Chicago. There's 39 schools in the country serving an underserved population, and attempting to have young people graduate from high school, all being accepted into college. And we're in our eighth graduating class. I have to keep it a secret, but we're very hopeful that to hit 100% again, which would be 8 years in a row for us having 100% of our students be admitted to at least one college. And I want you all to know, I always want to praise our teachers, because many of our students come to us 2 years behind. So they're catching them up in 4 years, and and they're working one day a week. So they're only in the school 4 days a week. And it's a yeoman's load that our teachers carry. So I always want to praise them when I can.
The students work one day a week.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the program at the school.
Yes. Okay. 5 days a month, Amanda. Yeah. Yeah. So,
One of the similarities that I see between Crystal Ray and Catholic Social Services is the participation and the commitment to our community. I don't think either of your, I'm speaking for you, I don't think either of you would be successful if you didn't have great community support. Then that overflows back into the community to build up our local body of Christ. Is that fair?
Absolutely, Dave. I think the involving the community in our work is an important part of our Catholic social teaching, as well as making sure that we are working with the folks in the community that are receiving our care, involving them in the solution, but also making sure that we're teaching others how to be good neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we believe at Catholic Social Services that when you connect a neighbor in need with a neighbor willing to serve, something quite beautiful happens. The encounter brings hope, build strong community. So volunteerism and involvement and partnership are key. We're excited to say that we have two Crystal Ray students who work with us every week as part of their work study program. And they're just amazing young people.
Mm-hmm. Joe, tell us about the model for Crystal Ray is to partner with companies and businesses.
Yeah.
Apostolates, ministries in the area, nonprofits even, that will give them practical experience. Is that the right way to say it?
Yeah, Dave, if I could too, I'd like to go back to the original question that you asked.
About lavender?
No. Although I want it to be known that I did defend Amanda on that issue. So,
appreciated.
Your original question about the community effort and how that relates to Crystal Ray. Every one of our students qualifies for the EdChoice scholarship in the state of Ohio. So state government participates in the Catholic mission of Crystal Ray. Our work study partners, they all pay a fee for the services of our students that our students' parents assign to the school to pay for their education. So, we have 120 work study partners in the community, some nonprofits, many for profits, and government. So there's community participation from that perspective. And those two sources account for about 80% of our budget. And then the other 20% we fundraise. So there's private donors that participate. So it's a total community effort, and it would all come tumbling down without the community. So with that being said, I don't remember your second question.
Neither do I.
Yeah.
Was it about the structure of the work program?
Could have been.
Yeah.
Could have been. I mean, it's... So the participation from the businesses and the companies, what is obviously they see a benefit in helping young people, and just not as a human resource or somebody to get a job done, but they're involved as you are on the educational aspect in forming them to become better men and women, essentially.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. We always try to talk about it as, first off, we believe Crystal Ray Columbus High School is a community asset, but we need the community to participate,
right,
as we just discussed. But we also need to provide some value to the company as well. And you know, bear in mind that we're talking about 14 to 18 year olds. So, you know, they also bring unique perspective to the workplace. We've had many situations where some of the fine companies in Columbus have used our students to, for example, review their websites. And, you know, what do they see? And some of their observations have been enlightening to those companies. So, there's a part of workforce development involved, and there's also a part of philanthropy involved. And I don't think that you can divorce those two. They have to, when you speak to the business owners, they have to be able to grasp both of those components, and then that forms a very good partnership. And the supervisor is the secret sauce, the person that they're actually reporting to at the work site. And I just heard a story yesterday. One of the Chicago schools, as you can imagine, many of our students have challenges at home and what have you. And they had a young woman who was living with her grandmother, and grandmother passed away. She ended up moving in with the supervisor at her work study, took her in and saw her through the rest of her high school years. So it's a very, very close relationship when it works well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we wanted to talk about lives of service with you guys this morning. And I think, Joe, just what you were saying there too, it's especially with getting young people involved in mentoring and kind of fostering a life of service, it's not reduced to a project or, you know, service hours. You know, it becomes a part of who we were created to be. It was to receive God's love and then show his love to others. Essentially, it's that simple, right? Kelly, where this should be the life that we live. And to even say that it needs to be fostered, it gets to kind of the world that we live in, and how easy it is for all of us. And I in no way want to single out young people. We're all prone to this, where we become self-centered and inward-looking. So to learn how, or relearn, or rediscover how we've been created to be at the service of our brothers and sisters. There's a question in there somewhere.
Yeah, I think the point that I'm hearing you make, Dave, is that we all are called to serve.
Mm-hmm.
That's a gospel call. And how do we, as leaders in the community, whether it's in the business community, in the church community, or in a nonprofit or education, how do we instill that value, that virtue, that call into the next generation? Because we see and hear all the time of the studies about the impact of social media and how the younger generation is becoming so isolated and in a bubble and self-absorbed and the impact that that's having on mental health. How do we help them see another way forward, as opposed to standing on the sidelines and saying, okay, that's just the way it is now? I think we start by loving them.
Mm-hmm.
And we can love them and build relationships, as Joe mentioned, and then teach them how to share that love with others through service. Because as I've said before, love is hard. We've got to lean into it. Mm-hmm. We can start with kindness and compassion and opportunities to give back. One of my favorite quotes from Pope John Paul II was in World Youth Day in the Philippines in the 90s. He said, "It's always Christ who sends, but whom does he send? Young people, it's you. You're the ones he looks upon with love. Christ, who says, 'Follow me,' wants you to live your lives with a sense of vocation." That's a powerful statement. And our church loves all, but our church has a special place in its heart for the next generation because we need them. We need them to be the future leaders and share that love forward. And, of course, John Paul II started World Youth Day, and it's just it's a wonderful tradition to continue.
One, if it's not handed on, then we're going to perpetuate selfishness, you know, isolation, mm-hmm. loneliness. So just by the very act of loving, right, and being involved in another person's life or in a young person's life, Joe, we're showing them a better way.
Yeah, you know, role modeling so important. Young people learn from what they see and how we behave. But I think another thing, I was reflecting on this morning. When you watch children in the playground, they naturally care about each other and mm-hmm. they naturally minister to each other. Sometimes I think that we have to be careful. In addition to role modeling, we don't get in the way and grind out that natural ministering nature that young people have. And, you know, life gets busy when you hit your high school years. You know, you start thinking about college and college applications and where am I? And all of a sudden, you know, as I think you mentioned, Dave, you start to internalize. Mm. And we got to be careful that we continue to reinforce that caring behavior, because I think it's all born in us.
Mm-hmm. Joe, would you say that starts with maybe cultivating a true understanding of authentic purpose or an authentic idea of success or an authentic idea of identity?
You know, Amanda, I would... versus you asking me a question, I think that your perspective is much more important. This is my observation. Young people have kind of looked at the lifestyle of my generation and said, you know, no, this isn't what I want. And mm-hmm. I think that young people are more concerned about their peers, the environment, and living a life that gives back and looks to share and to be in communion, shall we say. So I would wonder what your thoughts are on that.
Well, I think you have an excellent point in that, you know, as children, you're right. If you watch them play or they do have a service to each other, a way that they love each other in particular. And I'm just struck by your thought of that, because you're right. How do we go from that point to maybe falling away from this interior disposition of service? And I think it does get to the root of, well, what does our culture find important right now? And I think we're losing the sense of, well, my identity as a child of God, or the idea of success being in loving our brother and sister, right? As opposed to maybe these overwhelmingly productive mindsets. And yeah, I think it really gets to, we all do need to do a better job of maybe recentering ourselves and then being better mentors and being better examples and loving well.
Joe Patrick, president of Christo Rey High School. Kelly Henderson, the president of Catholic Social Services of Columbus. There's an element in service and in mentoring that it's not what I don't want to show you how to become like me. You know, I want you to discover who you are. Mm-hmm. And those have been my best mentors. And that's different from training, I guess. You know, training, I'm going to teach you some skills. I'm going to teach you to do the job correctly or better. Mentoring is more, let me help you discover who you are and what your special gifts are and who you were created to be. Is that a fair distinction?
I think so. You're really speaking to accompaniment. Mm-hmm. And mentorship is walking with someone and exploring and experiencing life together and discerning together. There are some things that we need to instill in the next generation very clearly and objectively. We need to make sure that those truths remain and are guarded and nurtured. But most of life is an adventure and an experience. And so how do we foster encounters with each other? How do we give space and grace to youth to be able to have those encounters in a way that is accessible to them and not something that we would prescribe that, well, you should do it this way, because that's the way it's always been done. Well, I don't know, Joe, you kind of alluded that most of us in this room, youth is a distant memory.
Define distant. No.
it's been a minute, Dave. But I wonder if we had that same sense of awe and adventure when we were younger and trying to figure it out and looking for someone to say, will you just walk with me?
Mm.
That's really what mentorship is. It's not about me telling you how to live a life that I live. It's helping you to explore your life and bringing that best version of yourself forward and perhaps offer a little advice along the way.
I mean, isn't that the Christian journey? I mean, isn't that how we learn to be better Christians? It's not reaching on the side of heaven, kind of, you know, the end point. Now I've got it. Now I understand it. Now I've got this nailed. Now it's the joy is in the journey and in being accompanied by our brothers and sisters, but also being taught by the Lord that this is, I want you to be more like me. And I'm going to spend as much time with you as is necessary to help you discover who I want you to be and who you should be in me. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I mean, we all have a unique purpose and a place of meaning in our life. And my meaning and purpose is unique to yours.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do we walk together and experience that together in a way that is grace-filled and exciting and hopeful and forward-thinking? The youth have a lot to teach us as well. We just need to help discern with them.
Service itself, I mean, let's talk some about what it actually means to serve. And going back to my point earlier about just, it's not training, right? I want to make that distinction between I'm here to help you how to, for you to realize your worth, to realize your identity, to get through a situation. And what does the server and the servee, what's that relationship really look like? And what's, you know, what's the point of it?
Well, I think we see with organizations like Cristo Rey, which is not only encouraged, there's space given in a busy schedule to allow kids to give back. I think service promotes self-worth. It gives that opportunity to get out of myself and say, this is not about me.
Mm-hmm.
I am doing this intentionally at this moment for someone else. That leaves an impact, an impression on that person. But I see it with the Cristo Rey students that come to us. They're eager to be there.
You know, another thing I was reflecting on this morning, Kelly, you led me to, but our students, given their backgrounds, service is very natural to them from two perspectives. They see it in their community being administered, and they also, when they see that, it's natural to them. It's not something that that causes them concern. So, for example, each year we have 30 or 40 students go to the Italian Festival at St. John's and volunteer. And for them, you know, whatever you ask them to do, that they're going to do, and they're just very accustomed to it. Their families have had hands up during their lifetime that they've seen, and they've gone and give hands up to other mm-hmm. families that are in the community. And so it's just something that's very, very natural to them. To see them react in those situations, you don't ever have to prep them. They're just very accustomed. But Amanda, back to what you and I were talking about earlier, you know, life hasn't beaten it out of them yet,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they still have it in their soul. So it's something that's very natural for them, and I learn every day watching them.
And a really practical example of service and how to get involved, because we all look at the problems that we face in society, and they seem huge sometimes. And where can I possibly make an impact? And so the problem is too big to touch. But if we all come together and do a little part, then we can make a big impact together. And I think instilling that in volunteerism by creating opportunities for individuals and groups and families and schools to get involved. As many of you know, we just launched the new initiative called Community Engagement at Catholic Social Services that'll kick off this fall in a big way. We're creating spaces and opportunities for groups to come together. And we're talking with groups like Crystal Ray to come together and do a large day of service with us that will impact someone else. So imagine a gym full of students packing hospitality care kits for seniors all over Southern Ohio. Or imagine seniors in residential facilities packing baby kits for new families. There is a spirit of service that we should bring and talk about, but we should also be willing to invest and create spaces for these things to happen. They don't happen automatically. Mm-hmm. Someone has to say, well, we're willing to do this and create these spaces. The people will show up because deep down inside, part of we are eager to serve as human beings. We want to give back. We want to do something that makes a difference. So we're hopefully going to be a part of that and looking forward to partnerships with folks like Crystal Ray to make it happen in a big way.
Joe Patrick, excuse me, the president of Crystal Ray here in Columbus. Kelly Henderson, the president of Catholic Social Services of Columbus. One of my favorite stories about Mother Teresa, I think it was actually when she was in the U.S., visiting Washington, D.C., reporter asked her, you know, how are you going to take care of all these people or feed all these people or, you know, solve all their problems? And her answer was one person at a mm-hmm. time. And Joe, with Crystal Ray, you're really entering into each of these students' lives and caring about them as individuals. And I think that's one of the points too that we're talking about just with service. You have that presence, you have that accompaniment with individuals, but you're by doing that you're building a stronger community all around.
Dave, you know, I'd like to go back to what you and Kelly were talking about earlier, and that's mentorship. You know, being in a school, it provides you with the opportunity to have mentorship, many mentorship relationships. And the first thing I'll say to you is I am very excited about young people and education. I always have been, although I've only been in education now 4 years. But truth be told, I'm really a fundraiser, okay? but I do see it. It happens around me every day. And just the ability to... Yesterday, I was speaking with a senior in the hallway who's done very well and going on to a very prestigious college. And I told him, I said, you know, drive it through the finish line here. We're in our final quarter. And I said, you know, be a leader. And he said to me, he said, I will, Mr. Patrick. I want to be a leader. And just those opportunities, and you know, they know that you care about them, and that makes them feel good about themselves. And that's just simple things like that helps to pass it on because, you know, and you have so many of those opportunities. It's so uplifting. You all have to come down sometime and just and take a tour because it's a very uplifting place. And
well, Joe, even just you telling him be a leader, I think really instilled in him someone believes in me and I can do this. And so like, that mentorship there of just even offering an encouraging word, I'm sure that means so much.
Amanda, it's hard not to believe in young people. I mean, they're the future. And, you know, they teach us a lot more than we teach them. And you know, as it relates to volunteerism, something quick that I don't want to forget to say, I think very often we forget it does a lot more for us than it does for the folks that we're helping. And I think that's where young people instinctively, they know that, they feel it, and it makes them feel good, it makes them feel whole.
Now, Kelly and Joe, you can both talk to this. What's the service that actually, what are the ways that the young people from Cristo Rey serve at Catholic Social Services? What are they involved in?
So we have two students that work weekly at our Guadalupe Center on the west side of town, and this outreach center has been in place now for a number of years to serve particularly Spanish-speaking families, and we have a full bilingual staff, and so our two Cristo Rey students are also bilingual, and they are what we would call personal shoppers. They accompany families that are coming in and walk with them as they're accessing our Choice Food Pantry, helping them to navigate what's going on in their life and look at the other resources that may be available for instance, a class. We have a lot of educational opportunities. We also help folks that are struggling with violence in their life, whether it be trafficking or domestic violence. And so these students are really just a kind face to welcome someone, because many of the families that come into our Guadalupe Center also have children, and they need to see another young person's face and say, I can be okay like this person. Mm-hmm. And so they're really there. We're giving them opportunity to not just serve, but also to instill hope in others.
Kelly, I want you to know those two students love that placement, mm-hmm. by the way. They love their job.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. They are just amazing, amazing and inspiring young women.
The word that just came to my mind, we were talking about serving, but Kelly, as you were describing them being at the Guadalupe Center, the word observe comes to mind. Just them being present, they're a lot more aware because of observing other people's lives. And that's got to be triggering something in them as well as, you know, This is the reality in our community, and triggering ways and that other ways that they could help.
Yeah, I think we also take for granted at certain points in our life. I know I do this thing we call courage. Mm-hmm. You know, we become conditioned to be able to handle certain things and cope with things through life through our experiences, our school of hard knocks, and the things that lead us and help us become who we are. Let's not forget that the next generation still is developing those skills too, and developing this thing called courage, and being able to be in a foreign environment, in a place where perhaps there's a family in crisis, or perhaps you're being asked to do something that you're uncomfortable doing or you've never done before. And helping them to develop courage and confidence and the ability to ask for help is really important as well. To tie it back to the World Youth Day, Pope Francis in last year's World Youth Day in Lisbon, he speaks to this and he says, have the courage to replace your fears with dreams. Replace your fears with dreams. He repeated that. And then he said, don't be an administrator of fear, but be an entrepreneur of dreams. We have to make sure that the youth have these spaces to be entrepreneurs of their dreams. And how do we instill and encourage and really provision that for the next generation? That's part of our responsibility now as leaders in the community, and as adults that have been through this before, although we may have forgotten it.
Let's walk over to the old dog, new tricks department. How has how's it helped you guys just being involved in mentoring, and how's it changed the way that you look at service being involved with these young people or these different ministries? You said 4 years that you've been doing something pretty new.
Yeah, Dave, I spent 42 years in public accounting, and Cristo Rey was a client of mine, so that's how I got to know them. But I'll tell you, there's a strong linkage between what I did in public accounting and what I'm doing now, and as interesting as that sounds, let me attempt to explain it. in public accounting, you know, you're bringing in many new people every year out of college. And there's a very strong mentorship component that is involved in that work and bringing people along and growing them along. So it becomes part of your daily routine. And it gets to the point where you don't even notice it anymore. It's just part of what you do. And when I went to Cristo Rey, I really didn't know what to expect. I knew I didn't know anything about education. That I knew, so I knew to stay out of that. And I also knew that I was hired because of my relationships in the community, so i.e. fundraiser. But I didn't know what to expect. And what I found is the environment is just the same. I mean, it's mentorship. There's such a talented group of dedicated folks there, whether they be on faculty or staff. They're all committed to the mission, and they're very, very talented. But, I'm an old dog, and I have a lot of scars on me. And, it's interesting, too, Amanda, when you were given your reflection this morning, I was thinking about how Jesus shared his scars. Mm. And to him, that was his way of giving strength. And sometimes we want to hide our scars mm-hmm. instead of sharing them with folks and allowing us to share what's unique about us and in my views, spread the gospel. But back to what I was saying. So I'm sorry, I got distracted. So that mentorship component just continued on. And, I just think that, that's a component of service. We may not think about it that way, but mm-hmm. but it clearly is.
Nice.
I would echo that. I think mentorship is an intentional choice to try to help another that is not as experienced or has not gone through as many things or has as many scars to use Joe's analogy. We've all had mentors in our lives. I've shared on the show before a couple of people that have been impactful in my life over the years. One is Coach Bill Curry in Atlanta. Who just really took me under his wing and helped me to learn. And one is Dr. Ike Reichard, who's a evangelical pastor in the South, megachurch pastor, who really helped me to learn how to express and share what loving Jesus means in a very public way. So being able now to look back and say, okay, now it's my turn to offer some help. I try to mentor a couple of young men every year. Not necessarily high school students, but folks that are just recently out of college and trying to start a new career. And one of my mentees called me 2 days ago and has lost his job and was just really reeling with what this means to I have failed. It's over. My life is over. And I'm like, no, your life is so full. Let's talk about what happened. Let's talk about your plan. Let's talk about next steps. But just being there to listen and talk and be available to say, okay, these are the emotions that you're working through and mm-hmm. you can get through this because God has purpose for you. We all have something that we're supposed to do. And maybe that was not the thing you were supposed to be doing. So I'm hopeful that he will to stay focused and grounded in the future and not lost in what just happened in his life. But those things, that's one example of mentorship is mm-hmm. we help walk with people. We're not going to tell them how to fix things or do things or parent them. Mm-hmm. We're there to be their friend, to be their sounding board, to accompany. Mm-hmm. And it's a two-way relationship. There's a reciprocal nature there. We learn so much from the people that we pour our lives into.
Yeah. Yeah. Kelly and Joe, my thoughts are going to the practical aspect of service, right? And this idea of how can we cultivate a greater instillment in ourselves that the church needs me. This idea of, kind of thinking about 1 Corinthians 12 as being the body of Christ and each part has its function to work amidst the body of Christ. And how can we maybe cultivate this idea of we do belong to each other and we each do have a part and each of us are given gifts and talents from the Lord that are meant to be shared. And I think sometimes we just get busy, right? But in a practical way, any thoughts on just how to really cultivate that and then put it into practice?
Yeah, especially for a lot of our friends that are listening, our parents and grandparents. So how do you rediscover in ourselves, that joy of being on the playground and supporting each other. Big question.
No, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
And Kelly and I are looking at each other.
That is the question, Dave. That is, and Amanda, thank you. How do we do that? What are our practical ways to do that? We talked about mentorship. We talked about creating spaces for service. I think we also, as folks that are the ones that are will be pouring into the lives of a young person, we also have to realize that it's now their time, which is tough to be able to say that my time perhaps is not now. Now I have to be willing to offer and equip and empower the next generation to do something special.
That's such a good point. Maybe we're grasping at a ministry that we've been holding on for so long, and maybe the Lord is asking us, can you help someone else learn how to do this?
Amanda, I don't have any answers for you, but I will say this to you. Since the time I've come to Columbus, I've been very involved on various boards and with many not-for-profit organizations. And in my role of mentorship, I always encourage people to join boards, but for the right reasons. And what I mean by that is that, you know, a lot of people in the for-profit world, they join boards to get put on their resume and build a resume. But to do it from your heart and to be involved. And I think that simple, at least from my perspective, when people get involved and they do it for the right reasons, it kind of brings back that joy that you know from youth, from when you were a youth, and the joy of helping people. But I have no answers for you. That's the only encouragement that I give to people to sure. try to help in the community. So,
mm-hmm. Sure. Thank you.
And I would say, with age also comes a lot more relationships, and if we want to call it networking, and we all know people. And if you see a need and you know somebody in your network can help out, serve with you, invite them to be a part of whatever you're involved in. Or if you see something where, boy, this person or this organization or this group could use your talents, reach out to that person and invite them to become involved. It, like everything else, I mean, invite, you know, come and see what the Lord is doing here, and and be a part of it.
Make those introductions, just like someone had made with you.
Yeah.
One of my mentors years ago told me, when you're faced with something that you can do something about, you should do something about. And I think we need to instill that in the next generation as well. So it's when it's your time, you'll know it, and it's your time to step up and do something, and we've got your back. We're here to help you.
If you guys get an opportunity today, I'm reading the newspaper, and there's a young man that wrote a letter, a high school young man. Read it. It speaks to see something, do something, but in a service, from a service perspective.
Love it.
Tomorrow morning, the Sacred Heart Hour. Be sure to join us at 8:00. Father Stosh Daly, Chuck and Joanne Wilson, Joe Patrick, Kelly Henderson. Thanks for being with us this morning. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, a world without end. Amen.
God love you all.